This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's California Politics Today. We're about to speak with Stuart Leavenworth, who's an associate editor on the editorial page of the Sacramento Bee. Well, welcome to Utopia Media's California Politics Today.
Thank you, Mark. Glad to be here.
The specific impetus for this conversation is an editorial that you wrote and that ran in the Bee on the 29th of August about current developments in the ongoing stem cell saga here in California. What was the gist of that editorial?
Well, the gist of the editorial was a very important question that surrounds the issuance of bonds for the stem cell program. And all along, while the campaign was going forward for Prop 71, which created the stem cell program, the proponents had claimed that the state would receive back royalties once all these incredible inventions were marketed. And in fact, they projected in the study that there might be as much as $1.1 billion in royalties coming back to the state.
Who did that study?
There was a Stanford professor was involved with it, and also a consulting group. And, you know, it was one of these studies that was used to sell the campaign.
Okay, and its finding was that the state of California would get back over $1 billion from the project.
Yeah, as much as $1.1 billion.
Right.
And
okay.
I mean, it's the study, to be fair, also said that the bulk of the benefits of the state would be in reduced medical health care costs.
Right.
So anyway, now we learned that there could be significant problems in issuing tax-exempt bonds for anything that returns a royalty to the state, that it might conflict with IRS rules, that basically those royalties become an asset, a taxable asset, and so you can't issue tax-exempt bonds.
Yeah, what you just said in 20 seconds, I just talked for an hour and 6 minutes with the chief bond counsel for the state, and mm-hmm. he said the same thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, the question becomes, when did the proponents of Prop 71 know this, and did the state treasurer, Phil Angelides, know this as the campaign was going forward? And if so, why did they continue to put forth the notion that it'd be this large return of royalties to the state? You know, I've been trying to get some answers to this question. So far, I haven't been completely successful from either Phil Angelides or from Robert Klein, a bond expert who heads the Institute for Regenerative Medicine and who was the leading force behind Prop 71.
Okay, before we talk about your questions, I wanted to ask you, your editorial makes reference to a May 23rd letter that went to Treasurer Phil Angelides warning about this possible issue.
Actually, it was a letter to Phil Angelides, right.
Right. Is that letter public information, or did you get it from somebody?
I was given
what
did
you say
it,
about that?
I got it through someone at the state legislature, and I do have a copy of it here.
Do you have any aversion to publishing that letter? Is that possible? Are you going to publish it? Can you give me a copy and I'll publish it?
I'd be glad to check with my editorial page editor. I doubt he'd have any problem with that.
Okay.
But, it should be a public document.
Right.
Unfortunately, I tried to FOIA other documents that the bond counsel had sent to Angelides.
Right. Tell our civilian listeners what FOIA is here.
Oh, an open records request.
Right.
Under the state sunshine laws.
Okay. And what did you ask for?
I asked for all memorandums between the bond counsel and Angelides, prior to the passage of Prop 71, prior to that May 23rd letter.
Okay. Now, when I spoke to the bond counsel, Mr. Fayer, a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. and asked him about this, he said that issues like that were really not the concern of a bond counsel prior to that their job is to help the treasurer make the decisions that will keep the bonds tax exempt, and that he seemed to indicate that there was no reason for him to have even communicated with the treasurer before the election about that. Do you have a different take on that?
Well, all I know is I have a memorandum from ORIC to Angelides dated May 23rd.
Right.
And in it, it says, in an earlier memorandum outlining our initial analysis of Prop 71, we advised you that it was likely that intellectual property rights derived from research which was financed from proceeds of state bonds would be treated as assets financed by the bonds.
That would seem to refute what he just said. Assuming that earlier date is before the election, it could have been... this was May 23rd, 2005, right?
Yes.
The election was in November 2004.
Yeah, and basically I requested all memorandum prior to that May 23rd letter.
Oh, okay, before and after the election.
But remember what he's saying. He's saying our earlier memorandum outlining our initial analysis of Prop 71.
Right. Oh,
that would suggest that it was an analysis done before it passed.
It certainly would. Okay.
So I find it very surprising that ORIC is now claiming that there were no...
Well, I didn't exactly say he claimed that there wasn't. Oh. He said he couldn't talk about whether there were and indicated a general theory under which it wouldn't have made sense for him to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say he didn't, so I don't want to...
Yeah, well, so anyway, Angelides is claiming that all these previous memorandums are attorney-client privilege, which I find to be a very interesting position for him to be taking.
So what's the next step besides publicizing his refusal to give you the documents are you taking?
Well, Mr. Angelides is actually coming in to talk to our editorial board next week, I understand.
So I'm hoping
to ask these questions to him directly.
All right, or maybe he'll bring the memos with him.
I certainly hope so. We would just like, the complete record on when everybody knew about these tax implications of the bond.
Okay, now what's the more general importance of that question about the tax-exempt status from a policy point of view?
Well, I mean, our editorial board has a number of problems with ballot propositions.
Right.
There's a long tradition of them promising things they did not deliver.
Right.
So we're quite concerned that in the campaign for Prop 71, that the voters were promised something that could not be delivered, and possibly that the proponents of it knew could not be delivered.
Is that illegal or just embarrassing?
Well, I'm the wrong person to ask whether it's legal or illegal.
So essentially, you want to hold to account.
We want if we're going to have ballot proposition in California, we want them to be completely honest, and we want them to have some integrity. So we're quite concerned, about the promises that were made in Prop 71.
Okay. Now you've also asked in the editorial that a new panel be set up to study and make recommendations about the intellectual property rules. Where would that panel be? Is it sort of a blue ribbon a commission or a committee of the state legislature? Where do you want that panel to be impaneled?
Well, I mean, State Senator Deborah Ortiz has been working with other legislators on a resolution that would create such a panel. I think the main point we're trying to drive home is that if there's going to be policies on intellectual property rights for stem cell, it needs to be a really very diverse and wide-ranging group that is making those recommendations. And as the editorial stated, we do not feel that the Council on Science and Technology had that kind of representation. I mean, there's a lot of respected scientists on that council, but we don't think it represents the diversity of opinions on intellectual property rights.
And again, to focus on those intellectual property rights, it's the issue here is whether the creation of them would eventuate in the payment, in the creation of assets that would render the bonds non-tax exempt.
Well, yeah, there's a number of issues. I mean, issuing tax-exempt bonds is the best way to go.
Right.
Because there's much less interest that the state has to pay.
Right.
So actually more money could go to stem cell therapies, which I think we all want, or at least I hope most of us in California want since we voted for this.
59.1%.
Yeah. But the question is, how do you get around these... if you want to do tax-exempt bonds, what kind of return will the state get on its investment? Some people feel that, well, if we can't get royalties, then we need some kind of licensing agreement that assures that Californians of modest means have opportunity or access to whatever therapies come out of stem cell research.
Mr. Fayer suggested, mentioned that one proposal being made to try to resolve this issue would be to set up an additional nonprofit organization which would receive these assets and these royalty payments, mm-hmm. and then use it to provide medical care for the indigent, presumably. Do you have any comment on whether you think that would be a good idea if it ever came to pass?
Well, that's, I think, a very interesting idea. We'd hope that the Stem Cell Institute and people who know about this idea would perhaps come forward with it and give us some details, because that may be one way to get around this.
Okay, let me try to focus on what seems to be either an irony or a self-contradiction or what the essence of the problem here is. If these assets are paid to the state, then the state itself can't get tax-exempt status for the bonds when it issues it. Is that right? So the state's going to have to take it one way or the other, isn't it? Either in higher interest rates or in not getting the assets paid, the royalties paid to it. Is that the state of play right now in this discussion?
It is a bit of an irony, I think there are ways that you can accomplish the gist of what was promised with Prop 71, and that is, that we get some kind of really kind of guaranteed return on our investment. And,
But if getting that return on investment means that the state, which is going to get that return, has to pay a higher interest rate on the bonds...
But I meant a return in terms of access to health care.
Right, but that would essentially be an asset also that would revert down to the benefit of the state, and unless a way is found to finesse that...
Yeah,
that would render the bonds non-tax exempt and require the state to pay more money in order to get that benefit for its citizens.
Mm-hmm. So. I agree. It's quite a conundrum.
Okay. One final issue, a little bit outside of the range of what you said there. While this is going on in California, and while the senators and congresspeople in Washington are debating whether what to make of stem cell policy in the future, the South Koreans, and to a limited extent the British, are moving ahead on this. Do you think that's an important factor in all this for the taxpayers of California as investors through Proposition 71 in stem cell research, and does that factor into this discussion from your point of view?
Well, I mean, I think it just goes to show that, every week that goes by, there's new advances made in stem cell research.
And the intellectual property rights are...
Intellectual property rights
are going to be in South Korea.
Yeah, and it's hard to know how lucrative this technology will be,
right.
and when it actually will become lucrative
right.
and marketable. But it actually could happen pretty quickly. And certainly the intellectual property... is something that's already being built up right now with patents on various techniques and so forth. Ultimately, when there's therapies and drugs that come out of this, whoever owns those patents will be getting quite a bit of money. So there's potential for tremendous profit in this, which is a good thing. I mean, we all hope that this technology will pay off. But, if we're putting up the venture capital for this, shouldn't we get something back for that? What is a fair return? I mean, these are questions we're trying to raise. We don't think that they were adequately debated or considered prior to the passage of Prop 71.
Okay. Sum up by saying what you see as the role of the Sacramento Bee in pushing this process forward, and if you want your own role within that, and what can we look for next in terms of your actions or something else that's going to happen around these issues that you're trying to raise here?
Well, I mean, we're just interested in full transparency and in a robust and diverse dialogue on how California Stem Cell Institute should operate.
And you think a good form for that would be this panel that you'd like to see set
up? Well, that panel is just focused on intellectual property rights.
Right.
We've been commenting on many different issues of the Stem Cell Institute, such as conflicts of interest internally.
Right. Do you think what form do you think that discussion ought to take? Back and forth op-ed pieces, a panel, special commission, investigations by the legislature. What form do you envision that discussion taking?
Well, I mean, our hope is that a lot of these things can be settled internally within the Institute of Regenerative Medicine. We think that there's a number of good board members that are overseeing that program. It's a very huge board, of course, but we have hopes that a lot of these things can be settled internally just through force of argument and steady oversight by the media and editorial boards like ourselves. But if that you know, if things don't change, you know, ultimately I think the legislature will get involved.
Are you supporting the often mentioned plan from Chair Robert Klein to sell, offer bond anticipation notes to nonprofits on a basis that would reimburse them if the case is resolved, the case is trying to stop the project resolved in favor of the Institute and allow them to become just grants if they're not? Do you think that's a good approach? Do you support it? Have you written about it? Are you going to write about that?
I mean, our position on it has been that we have a number of concerns about the selling of these bonds to nonprofit groups. I mean, one concern is who will these nonprofit groups be, and will that give them some kind of access or edge that other nonprofit groups won't have when it comes to influencing stem cell research?
Could they themselves become recipients of grants with their own money here?
Well, you know, we just don't know who would buy these bonds. You know, that's part of the problem here. It could be that they will be future recipients or future partners with scientists. We just don't know.
Right.
But the other issue with the bond anticipation notes is just that Klein is spending an awful lot of his time going around effectively fundraising for a state agency. We think that's a bad precedent, but also it's taken away his time from a lot of issues that we've advocated that he focus on.
Such as
resolving issues of conflict of interest within the Institute.
How far has that process gone, and how well has
not
it been done, according
enough.
To your
Not far
views.
Enough. I mean, for example, the peer review groups that will be recommending how this money is spent do not have to file public conflict of interest forms, so it's impossible for us to know if they have consulting jobs with certain pharmaceutical companies. We don't know what kind of stock holdings they have.
I thought they had to be out of state people. Is that
they are? They do have to be out of state.
But
people.
But you said they have to be out of state people. They don't have to file these.
To file the kind of conflict of interest forms that you would see for pretty much any state commission.
And you think they should?
They should. Yeah. We've urged him to at the bare minimum to have a public disclosure of those.
And at a higher level, where do you see the decision making authority about that? That resides with the ICOC, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so essentially all you can do is exhort him to...
Right.
Okay.
We've been doing a lot of exhorting.
Okay, good. I want to thank you for doing that and for talking to us, and I hope as this issue becomes even more complicated and in months to come we could talk again.
Always glad to help, Mark. Thank you for your interest.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Take care.